This is the beginning of God's hearing you as you come to Him. It is God's response to you as He comes to you and me in the scriptures that we read together. Let us pray. Father, living God, be afresh upon us as we come to your word. Speak to us, mold us, guide us, direct us, and give us your blessing as we come to praise you in those things that you share with us as your people and as your church. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 119. This is a psalm of praise for David as he sees how God has blessed him and how he finds the things that God shows him as he directs him in the living of his life. It's a response to God in the things that God gives to David and the realization that God in many ways has abundantly blessed him. Here begins the reading of God's holy word from Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed, who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I will keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. From the words of David, we go to the writing of Matthew in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 13, beginning a reading in a little different way that's printed in the bulletin. We begin our reading at verse 44. And these are the parables that Jesus uses to teach his followers in many of the things that they see in their lives as they walk with him. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Then we go to the parable of the net. The parable of the net is the teaching again once of the thing that is there. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May God bless to us the reading of his word, and may he teach us and speak to us as his children through his word. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we come to worship you. And as we worship you, we draw into your presence to see your will, to hear you speak to us. Take away from our lives all those things that would hinder you from speaking to us. Touch our souls, open our eyes, touch our ears, and give us the ability to know that you are here to speak to us. Use the words of my mouth and the meditations of these your people to bring honor and glory to you. For we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. The lectionary, which is a thing that is a part of our Reformed tradition, gives us passages of Scripture that we look at when we see the various Sundays that we go through. In the past couple of weeks, we've been going through parables, the teachings of Jesus to the followers that are a part of his life, as well as to the 12 disciples. I have always loved the parables. I see that Jesus uses them to teach his followers valuable lessons that pertain to life and that pertain to faith. Each of the parables are little stories in and of themselves. Sometimes the lesson is right there and it jumps out to you as soon as you read it. Other times it's necessary to do a little work to find the meaning and the capsule of the story that Jesus is telling us. The ones that he told that we are using this morning deal with value and find those things in life which are important as a part of life. The most valuable things that we see in the things that we experience as we journey upon this earth. If I had handed you a piece of paper this morning and told you to write down one thing that you valued most in your life, I'm sure we would have all different kinds of things on that paper. But Jesus is using these stories to show that life is worth something, and very important in life is the realizing that there is a core of life or a center of life that focuses upon God. And Jesus is saying that these are the things that are important, and the importance of what they find in your life is something that you would have written down on that piece of paper. So let's look at those parables this morning from the standpoint of that which we have on our paper. The mustard seed. It's the smallest seed that you can put in your hand. But out of that one little seed, which is about as big as a piece of celery seed, you will find a useful plant. It grows into a beautiful bush where Jesus said the birds can come and sit and nest, and the birds use the plant and the branches of this beautiful thing called the mustard plant. It is the smallest of the things that God gives to you and me. But sometimes the smallest things in our life produce more than we can even imagine. We don't have to do great things in our lives to somehow please and honor God, because greatness does not lie in the size of the seed, but greatness lies in what the seed produces as a result of that which is planted. Do not neglect the random acts of kindness that you can do in your life. They are like the mustard seeds. Even a cup of cold water, Jesus says, given in his name, will produce more than just erasing the thirst. That cup of love, of water, is given in love, and the love is there as well as the water. And those two combined with each other show that you care for that person with whom you share that cup of cold water. We may plant the smallest of seeds and never realize the harvest that will come out of those seeds. They may come in the life of someone who has received our action and our love a long ways down the road. Maybe even after we are gone from this earth, somebody will sit down and say, I remember this because it was a very important thing that was given to me and done for me by one of you. And that will be the seed that you plant. Every seed that you and I plant does not grow unnoticed by God. And the smallest seeds that we plant are still seen in the providence of God in the things that we share along the way. I walk with two canes. You cannot imagine how many people say to me, let me help you. When last I was at the barber shop, I was done with my haircut, and there were three people sitting in the barber shop. All three of them got up out of their chairs and said, let me open the door for you. I said, thank you very much. They opened the door and I went out. When I went out, I have to go down one step on a curb, and I grab a hold of a planter on the plaza. And I grabbed a hold of the planter, and all of a sudden there was a young man about 18 or 19 years old standing in front of me who said, let me help you down. And I said, thank you very much, I'm already down. How can I help by getting to your car? And I said, my car is right there, but I thank you for your concern. God bless you. That's the planting of a small mustard seed. It's a little thing that we do sometimes as a part of our life, which we don't even remember doing at the end of the day. It's a kind word. It's an action that is there, which we do in the lives of people. It's something that we share with somebody along the way who really needed somebody to share with them. It's taking the time to listen. It's taking the time to care. It's taking the time to show that we are a part of that person, even though we don't know that person. It's the small acts of kindness that somehow are planted in the lives of other people. You may do this in your life, and somehow as the process of that life unfolds in what you have done, you're asked this question: why did you do that for me? And your answer should be, because I love you. I did it because Jesus Christ taught me to love other people, and you are another people, and I love you, and I should be able to do what I can do for you to help you along the way. Don't neglect the small mustard seeds of your life. Don't sit around waiting for the God to come somehow to say to you, I want you to do this great and wondrous thing that everybody in the world will see. That's not going to happen. But God's going to come to you and say, I've put in your hand these small seeds. Plant them. And when you plant them, watch them grow. You may not even know how much they have grown in the process of the living of the life that you have touched along the way. Two people who find value in something that they're seeking. And when they seek them in their lives, they find them. One man finds treasure, another finds a pearl of great worth. And they are so involved in what they have found, they are willing to settle and sacrifice everything that they have in order to gain that pearl, in order to gain that treasure. Both people in this story are looking for something, something of great value to them, and they seek it, and it is worth everything that they own. Each one of them seeks, and both of them find. Both of them are willing to sacrifice for the find that is theirs, and what they sought takes the center and the core of their lives. It's a beautiful, valuable pearl that you can't even put a price on. It's a treasure that's found buried in the ground in the land that this man has now bought. Jesus is pointing out the value of faith. Faith that is precious enough to warrant making that the center and the core and the focus of your life. If you do not love me more than your father and your mother, your brother and your sisters, don't try to follow me. Because you cannot love your mother, your father, your brother, and your sisters more than me. You must love me more than anything and everyone in the world. That's the value of the faith that these people are seeking. They are willing to somehow sacrifice everything that they have to find something that is greater than what they have. And that's what you and I do when we see and express our faith. In the logic that is there, we find the value of our faith and see how precious that it really is. We can say that faith becomes the center of my faith, and my life, my values, the things that I believe, the things that I do, the actions of my life. And as the Holy Spirit works in our lives and motivates us, he motivates us like he motivated these two people. They found what they were looking for. And ultimately in their discovery of the kingdom of God, they find something that is more valuable, land or treasure or even pearls. The most valuable thing that you have is a ticket, as I said to my people in Bloomington last Sunday. And their ticket is this little ticket that's in the box that God gives to you, and you open the box, and there is the ticket. And you look at the ticket, and it says, the bearer of this ticket is entitled to the entrance into a place called heaven, because I have redeemed this person, and this child of God is now to be admitted to eternal life, Jesus Christ. You have a ticket in your faith, a ticket in your belief, which says you are a child of God, that you are a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ right here on this world. It is not something we have to wait for until we die. It is here now. We are a part of it. It is a part of us. And the kingdom of God is the valuable thing that we find in our life, which becomes the crisis of life in many of the things that we find as we fail to see that what has God given to us in those crises of our life. The best gift that you have ever received from God is salvation. And this is what Jesus is talking about. This is what he's saying, that there is a rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. This is the story of the 99 that Jesus leaves behind and finds one. Who's the one? You, me. He leaves the 99 to find us and to bring us back into the fold where there's rejoicing in heaven. One sinner rejoices. God says there's rejoicing in heaven more than the treasure that's found in the field, more than the pearl and the value of that pearl. You cannot begin to realize the value of what God gives you. It is the gift of faith. It is the gift of life. It is the gift of promise that comes to us in life as well as in death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's your promise. That's my promise. That's the gift that God gives to us. And we can rejoice even more than the treasure in the field or the pearl that we hold in our hand. So all of those three parables that Jesus tells us boils down to the last parable that we read about this morning. It's the parable of the net and the fish and the story of what takes place when the net is cast into the sea. The will of God and the kingdom of Christ is the net, which is cast into the lake of the world. And in that lake, that net gathers all kinds of fish. I can remember very vividly when I was growing up in Iowa, when I was still doing my fishing in the river, of going and doing what we call seining. Anybody here seined? You know what a seine is? It's a big long net with two poles on each end of the net. And you take off your shoes and your pants and you wade out into the water. You stand here and hold the net down with your pole, and I take my pole and I walk all the way around, so I make a circle and we come right back to the land. And then you pull your pole up and I pull mine up and we pull it onto the shore. And there on the shore, you've got crawdads, you've got little fish that you're going to use for bait. You may even have a couple of good fish that you want to keep. But you have all of those things in that net. And that net somehow comes through the lake or the little pond that you're in and begin to see the things that you are seeking in the process of the seining on that net. This is the net that's cast into the world. The fish are there. The fishermen sit down and they begin to go through the fish. They keep the good fish, they throw the bad fish away. The fish that they don't want to eat, the fish that have no value, are discarded. It's a picture of the just and the evil in the world. The world is filled with evil as well as with good. And the two exist side by side, as Jesus tells in another parable about the weeds. In those things which we see in the world, eventually the net is going to be cast into the lake, and everything in the lake is going to be drawn out. And there is going to be the division between evil and good. You and I are all in the net. And we are the ones who have found the treasure in the possessions of the pearl, in the possessions of the rich things in the land. But what we find in our life does not depend upon what we may have or may not have. It is based upon the judgment of the fishermen who determine what to save or what should not be kept. And it all boils down to this. It boils down to where we are in the lake. Are we following evil or are we following good? When we are pulled out of the lake and caught in that net and the fisherman takes us in his hand, will he find an evil person or will he find somebody who is good, who has tried and striven in their life to somehow serve God and serve their fellow man? This last story is the core of the other stories. What we seek or what we find in life determines what we are when the net is pulled up and when the trumpet of God sounds and the world comes to its end and we stand before our Creator and once again the divisions are made. Sheep on the right side, lambs on the right side, left side. Good fish in the left hand, bad fish in the right hand. There is a time of determination as the net is pulled ashore. And the underlying promise of all of these stories is that good overcomes evil. Grain is harvested, and the grain is put in the garner, but the chaff is blown away, and ultimately it is consumed by the fires. The good branches produce fruit. The worthless branches are pruned, and they are tossed into the fire. They have no value, no use, no production. You and I are a part of these parables. And we can say what the disciples said when Jesus said to them, "Do you understand what I'm talking about?" We can say yes, for we are those who have found the promise in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We have found the original promise of God, that I will be your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then a new promise that comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who says, "This is a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another." That's the gift of God's love as it comes into our life. It is there, and we take it out of our house to enjoy it. We treasure it. We live it. It is a part of our existence. It is a part of our everyday. We are like the mustard seed. We are like the treasure in the field. We are like the pearl because of one thing. Jesus Christ has found you and called you to be one of his people. And as he has called you to be one of his people, you will find the story of his love as it is a part of your life. And in the knowledge of that love, you will find the greatest gift that you have ever received anywhere in your life that the world cannot give you and the world cannot take away from you. It is the gift and the hope and the promise that you are a pearl, that you are a treasure, that you are a child of God. And as a child of God, when the net is cast, you will not be thrown away. You will find the inheritance that Christ promises to each of us, the fulfillment of love in the everlasting life that we have in the presence of God. So go from this place today, and in the new week that's before you, realize there are many times that you are going to be able to and called upon to do something, to plant a seed, to share a pearl, to share the treasure. And in the sharing, you will serve Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will find contentment in you and me for who we are and what we do. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we look in our lives and we ask ourselves, what is our life worth? And we realize how much that life that we live is worth. It was worth enough for you to sacrifice your own son, to redeem us as your children, and to call us to be the followers of Christ. In the knowledge of what you give to us, let us realize that we have a treasure in our hand, a treasure that we can pick up from the earth, a treasure that is beautiful like a pearl, but a treasure that never is cast aside like the bad fish. It is always valuable to you because you have sent your son to redeem us, and now we find our value and we know our worth. We come in his name, thanking you. Amen. We respond to God in the gift.